Hello. We've been expecting you. It's true because I'm Mother Goose, and I heard you walk up. Anyway, welcome to the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Whether you're a charmer, a deary, an evil regal, a kick-ass Team 7, or whatever you are all welcome here. Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California are the hosts. They are just the best. Oh, but come in, dears. Now, you can listen with the rest of us, but don't be shy. Here, this magical voice will tell you how to be part of the podcast.
Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626.
Okay. Are you comfortable? Got your cocoa with whipped cream and cinnamon? Okay. Here comes Jeff and Colleen.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
What's up? Ima's here. Manny's here. Awesome.
We got a few others, too.
So today is Oncer Day.
It is indeed.
So.
And it's not even Sunday.
No, it's true. So we have, really quick, this is going to be a wild show. Things may not work. Things may work.
Yep.
Not completely sure, but we're going to have some call-ins today. We're going to have at least one call-in from the Comic-Con. And then we're going to have another call about an exciting trip for that person. So there's going to be a lot of really cool things going on. Also, we have a furry little we're dog sitting. So yeah, I am recording. Yep.
Yay.
Absolutely.
Thank
so,
you.
We are we're dog sitting, so you may hear some barks and things like that. So just to kind of let you know, it's not yeah. So yeah, this is just audio. And really quick, I wanted to kind of say this. We're Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California.
Uh-huh.
And we love the Evil Regals.
We do.
And we love the Charmers and the Dearies.
Mm-hmm.
And we love everybody. Because this is a fan podcast.
Team 7.
Grumpsters. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. So anyhow, it's just
yep.
we love them all. Now, we do have certain groups that sometimes may not get along on Tumblr or Twitter, different things. But when you come here, we got to all love each other, give huggles and hugs and kind of hang out because it's a fan podcast. So that's really all I ask. So anyhow, it's been a huge day. There's so much going on. We may break out of what we're talking about. Calls will be coming in. So anyhow, that's what, yeah. So, okay, Paige's friend is in the chat room. So awesome. Yeah.
Yay.
And we'll be talking about your exciting trip coming up. So
okay.
Ima was winning some awards today. So I want to give
nice.
Big props to her.
Go
awesome.
Ima.
Awesome stuff. And so we're going to be hearing from our good friend Barbara Barnett. She's been in places that I wish I could go, but she was really good enough to really kind of get in there and ask a question or two that we sent her to the cast. And it's really exciting stuff. She was telling me she had an interview with Jane Espenson.
Wow.
And it's just
Man.
Been quite a
That's awesome.
Quite a day for her.
Awesome.
So I've got a fan going, so that's going to be kind of going. So
it's warm.
Yeah,
it's warm. So I think people will understand that.
But yeah, it's just really exciting. So we've got some news to touch on. The one thing I wanted to say is the whole spoiler aspect is really going to be interesting today because I consider things that are announced at Comic-Con not spoilers.
Right.
Some do. I don't. Now, what I would consider a spoiler, and I hate to take all this time to do it, but it's if someone read something somewhere about a certain episode and wanted to say something.
Details.
That's a spoiler. We have announced casting of parts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't consider a casting, official casting of a part, a spoiler. Because I think we need to know about it and we need to support that cast member. So there's going to be some things that may be considered spoilers, but it was a Comic-Con event. It wasn't in a backroom office that somebody listened to and called me on the phone and said, "This is, you're not supposed to know this."
Right.
This was announced to the earth. So I kind of wanted to get that out there because I don't want anyone to get mad at me. They still might, but anyway. So
and the point of it is that look, these are announcements that we're hearing from Comic-Con and what have you. These are not, "Hey, I saw this before any of you get to and now I'm going to tell you everything about it." That's a spoiler. That to me is a spoiler. That's what I don't like. If I'm going to see it 3 hours from now, let me see it for the first time without any opinion about what's going on.
Yeah.
Or any information. That's what I consider a spoiler. That's my personal opinion.
So it may be this is going to be an interesting evening for sure. So we've got some news, a lot of Comic-Con stuff, and we've got voicemails from Hillary in Colorado.
Yep.
We've got some voice feedback from Ima.
Cool.
And like I said, we're going to get a call in from Barbara. Paige is also going to be calling in.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a cast bio. If we have time. I don't think we do, but we can do some quiz stuff at the end in the after party.
Cool.
So, Once Upon a Time just basically moved into San Diego, and there were pictures of pedicabs with the mayor and Lana and Leather walking around, and the crew, the Once Upon a Time crew on a boat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All kinds of fun videos that we've posted blog posts about. So it's just been really, really, really cool. Comic-Con has just grown beyond whatever. So let me kind of go through some news items, and I'm keeping a close eye on the clock. So the Disney panel, let's just talk briefly about that. Oz the Great and Powerful is a new movie about the Wizard of Oz story by Frank Baum. It's directed by Sam Raimi. Does anybody know what Sam Raimi has done else?
Let's see if they have it. We got a Xena.
Xena, that's right. Yep.
What else? Spidey.
Spider-Man, correct. Yep. So he has a really kind of a different twist on things, and I just saw the chat room, and Megan looked phenomenal. So I just want to say that. So back to Oz the Great and Powerful. Absolutely. Oz the Great and Powerful, Sam Raimi's directing. Mila Kunis is in it, and Michelle Williams play two roles in it. James Franco is what appears to be the great and mighty Oz.
Wow, really?
And
that's an interesting choice.
Yeah, yep. So, the trailer we posted up on the site, and there's a scene where a witch's hand is scraping on something, green witch's hand. So I tweeted out, I said, another witch has come out to play. So I thought that was kind of fun. Wreck-It Ralph is another movie that Disney has coming out. Two of the voices are Sarah Silverman and John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically about a video game character that wants to get out of his video game and play with the other video game characters. So it looks like quite a wild movie, but it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we saw the trailer for it in another Brave, actually.
Yep.
And
yep.
that looked really fun. So.
Frankenweenie is a thanks Tim Burton for that title.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, thank you for that. Anyway, this is a movie I've heard about for years and years and years and years and years. So Tim Burton's finally finishing this, and it's coming out, and black and white, and it goes back to his horror film roots. Somebody said, where do you get inspired for your horror films? He goes, I was raised in Burbank, and I thought it was kind of funny. Yeah, something like that.
It's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah, and they also showed a clip of The Lone Ranger with Johnny Depp as a Tonto role. I can't think of who plays the Lone Ranger, but that clip was played. And the so it's something about, it basically focused on Tonto underneath the stage coach, something like that. It's not been posted, but that's what I've read about it. There's no mention of Maleficent, starring Angelina Jolie. So what I will say is there's going to be no Disney presence, as far as I'm concerned, at Comic-Con next year, because they're going to be at D23. D23 is like a Disney Comic-Con. If you want to bring the dog in here.
I'm going to have to, because she's so sad.
Oh, my
she's
Lord.
She's so sad that I'm sitting here and she can see me and she is mad. So let me get my headphones off. Okay, honey.
My heavenly days. This is going to be wild. All right. So anyhow, I expect that Angelina Jolie will be at D23 next year, and I will be there to see her.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the way that's going to work. Also, like I mentioned, Jesse Schramm was there for the Falling Skies panel. I was wrong about Jamie Chung and Sarah appearing. Anyway, it's wrong about that. Anyhow, so that's the news, and I want to save the rest of the info about the Comic-Con panel for later. We'll probably start now. Okay, so initially there were title cards shown for the panel, and it showed Mulan. And it also showed what looked like a beanstalk growing. So those are two possible characters that will be showing up. So what's interesting is that in our discussions with C. Ernst, who said he had played an ogre, I kept thinking he was playing the giant. So anyway, but hey, anything's possible.
Yep.
So, it was mentioned that we will start to see these characters early in the new season. So,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's that. All right. So the producers said little funny things like, well, I didn't see Maleficent's body. So that's a hint of possible whatever. Also, they're going to be revealing who Dr. Whale is, which, I mean, that's not a necessary spoiler. It's kind of like, well, we didn't know last season, so maybe this season's that's easy to kind of go to. There was something interesting. Eddie said, everyone says go back to, but if we don't know if there's anything to go back to. And there's another quote about why the two worlds are beginning to merge. So,
yeah,
I kind of said hybrid.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we've thought that was a possibility, because would they really transport everybody to Fairy Tale World or not?
Yeah.
So,
but they also mentioned that they're still going to go back and forth and meet new people along the way. So if that's kind of the official going back and forth, or is that the hat? So,
yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
it'll be interesting.
You know. So there was a comment that there was no stunt doubles used for the final scene with Emma and Regina.
No.
It said Jennifer and Lana kicked each other's behinds, let's say. So, And there's also, Jennifer said that she ended up in the emergency room after one scene went wrong. And I don't know if she meant, because remember the horse thing? In her Twitter about Snow Falls, she said that she hurt herself.
Jennifer?
Yeah.
Ginny?
Right.
Oh, gosh. I don't remember.
Okay.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
So I don't know if it was that or something that happened in the finale. Now we got the dog next door barking. This is fantastic. This is riveting.
It is.
Podcasting audio.
It's the dog pound.
The dog across the street saying, get down off her lap. You can escape. Yeah. I did it. Okay. So anyhow, and then they sang happy birthday to Lana. Her birthday is tomorrow.
Yes, that's what I hear too.
So
I hear tell that her.
They sang happy birthday. There was a twit vid of that, and I retweeted it, and I couldn't find it before the show. I was going to play it, but I can't find it. So anyhow, and they talked about Lana talked about the Evil Regals. They're my gang, my posse. She laughs. A lot of them have become good friends, and so. She also mentioned that the Evil Regals helped her basically get healthy, quit smoking, and she kind of threw the healthy challenge out at the Evil Regals, and I think that's pretty cool. So maybe they can throw some of that my way. I'll start getting healthier.
No.
So anyhow, it says that Emily Duravin has to try and keep a straight face when she did the scenes with Rumpelstiltskin. So I guess Mr. Carlisle is quite a character, if you will. So they did discuss what's your favorite fairy tale. So Megan Ory is asked who her character would want to eat first. She said her choice was Dr. Whale might be tasty, so it's kind of fitting.
He's not
kind
a
of
bad
get him
guy.
Back, get him back for being a lech.
Well, he's not a bad looking guy. He's just kind of creepy.
Lana said that some children and adults run away from her, so
she just yawned.
Okay. Oh boy. All right.
Yes.
So anyhow, and this is something that kind of came up too. Jenny and Josh had quite an audience while filming their last scene in Steveston, and they were worried that it would leak that the curse was broken. So with that being said, hold on. This is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. It's Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very, very good. You're live. And I'm so glad that you called.
Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. So this is Barbara Barnett, and let me quick find. She's a writer, speaker, author, a blogger, and she's a co-executive editor of blogcritics.org. She's a great friend of the program, and she loves Once Upon a Time, and this was her first Comic-Con. Barbara, how did you fare during your first Comic-Con?
I'm still standing.
Okay, all right.
That's good.
Good.
Doing a lot of, I'll tell you, you know, the view of people who are kind of geeky, nerdy Comic-Con people as being couch potatoes, always like doing a video game, is not true, because unless you've trained like a marathon runner, you cannot possibly make it through 4 days of Comic-Con, I am convinced.
Well, you mentioned that you had done some preparing, so I'm glad you did, because that's a huge, huge place, isn't it?
Oh, man. The convention center alone is blocks and blocks long, and then there's all the stuff that's going on out in the streets in the surrounding community. It is really awesome, and it is wonderful, and the weather finally turned nice. It's been hot and humid, and it started to get nice today. And it's been great. It's been exhausting. Yeah. Lots of walking.
Yeah.
It's actually Comic-Con is actually healthy for you, because you do so much walking, you can eat anything.
Yeah. Is it like an airport terminal in that the places that you want to get are always on the opposite end of where you're at?
Oh, yeah. In fact, today, my shuttle bus from my hotel goes, drops off at near Hall H, which is actually a great place for me because most of the pressings are at the Hilton across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very close to that. And Hall H is the infamous Hall H where all of the movie stuff is. So Twilight and all those other panels are in Hall H, which nobody could have, never, you know, the lines are miles long alone. But I had an interview this afternoon, or actually this morning, that was all the way on the other side of the convention center. And then 10 minutes after that, I had to get to the Hilton, which was all the way back by Hall H, to do a press thing for Alphas. So that was really interesting. It's like an airport terminal. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
O'Hare Airport. Yes.
Yep. What were your standout moments, two or three, that just amazed you?
That weren't once upon a time. This morning actually was kind of very, very surprising. I was supposed to do this interview with this company called Profiles in History. They're an auction house,
right?
Hollywood auction house, and they have. It was kind of cool, and I went to their booth, but I actually was kind of thinking of blowing them off because I had such a crazy hectic day for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So the publicist called me and he said, "Okay, you are coming, right? And you're going to be." I'm like, "Oh yeah, okay, now I have to go." So I did. I went and I talked to the guy, and it was very cool. So in the middle of the interview, Sean Astin popped into my interview. Turns out to be the guy's like best friend.
Mm.
And so I ended up doing an impromptu interview with Sean Astin of Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. And then, of course, there are trains that run by my hotel room.
So I understand.
I'm definitely not staying down by the convention center. The Once Upon a Time stuff was great. Alphas, meeting David Strathairn, who I'm a huge fan of his, all the way back from The Days and Nights of Molly Dodd and all of his film work, like Eight Men Out and Matewan, and God, that's a huge, huge fan of his. And then also yesterday meeting Bruce Boxleitner, who I'm also a huge fan of. So I was kind of a little bit of a fangirl. I tried really hard to be Susie Reporter and just be really grim and serious all the time. And I did. I really... I didn't get too fangirlish with anyone. Now, if Robert Carlyle had been there, I think I wouldn't have been able to restrain myself from a little bit of fangirlishness. But, yes, so those are some of the highlights. And, of course, the Once Upon a Time stuff.
So tell us about the Once Upon a Time vibe first. What was it like? Because it was kind of like that was ground zero for Once Upon a Time today.
Yeah. Well, my Once Upon a Time experience, I guess, started yesterday. I interviewed Jane Espenson.
Wow.
I've interviewed her a number of times, mostly by phone or by email. And I met her yesterday morning at her hotel, and we had a great long conversation. So my Once Upon a Time experience started then, and we talked a little bit about Skin Deep and Robert Carlyle and Rumpelstiltskin and all of that. And she gushed a little bit about how wonderful he was to work with and to write for. And said, I asked her what the reaction was going to be to Now There's Magic in Town. And she said, well, she couldn't really tell me, but she assured me there will be a lot of reaction. One of the things she told me that was really interesting was I asked her about, well, so now is there still going to be the balance between the Enchanted Forest and Storybrooke? And she says, well, you asked a very interesting question. There will be balance. And she said it sort of like, that's going to be interesting. She was really cagey about it. So I would look for this season to explore that and why. And actually, Eddie and Adam commented on that as well during the press time this afternoon. that, you know, why is there even a need for a forest anymore?
Hmm.
You know, and how is that going to all play out? So that'll be kind of interesting. So then this afternoon was the panel, which I did not go to. One of the downsides of covering press, doing press, is that if you go to a panel and you're standing in line for hours and hours and hours to get into it, you can't do anything else.
Yeah.
So one of the nice things is they set up these press rooms for the media and a lot of bloggers and mostly bloggers in the media rooms. And so the actors and the creative team, we sit at these tables, round tables, with, you know, four or five or six of us. And then they come to our tables, and we go to all the different tables. So you get all these, like, maybe there are 12 tables in the room,
mm-hmm.
and you get 12 different interviews, so which is kind of nice because it's not like a press conference where everyone, you know, get the same answers.
Yep.
So I'm kind of going through my notes. I came home at 5 o'clock. I actually skipped two press panels so I could go through my notes for tonight. So, sorry about that for my Grimm fans and Revolution fans. But I wanted to go through this. So I talked to Jennifer Goodwin,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to Emily DeRaven and to Lana Paria,
mm-hmm.
and to Adam Horowitz and Eddie Kitsis.
Mm.
I think I got that right. So I can give you a little bit of scoop from those,
okay.
if you'd like.
Sure.
So I'm going to just kind of go through my notes. So this is going to be sort of random. I'm not going to read you my notes, but I'm going to kind of just go through them. So with Jennifer, it was one of the things she talked about is that her relationship with Emma is going to be very interesting and explored. And the way she put it was, these guys have become best friends, and then really each of their own first best friend. They never really had friends before.
Hmm.
And now she finds out Emma's her mom.
Hmm.
And they're the same age.
Wow.
And it's really going to be difficult to really kind of, to get their heads around that. It'll be a real different kind of relationship. And part of it will be coming to terms with that different relationship, maybe even a little bit of resentment. Emma will also have to come to terms with the fact that her parents are very famous fairy tale characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they will really be diving into that. Let's see, what else did Jennifer say? She was actually very surprised that they broke the curse so soon. She had actually thought the curse, like most of us, thought the curse was really the crux of the series. But it will be a lot of fun to see what will happen with these characters now with magic in their lives. And in fact, now they're going to really be playing three different characters because they're going to have their fairy tale character, their storybook character of before, and now they're really working on doing amalgamations of these characters because now we see parts of their fairy tale personas come into their storybook life.
Wow.
She also gets to kick more ass.
Okay.
She gets to be much more of a badass in the present, and she said that she actually was doing some stunt rehearsals upcoming.
Ah.
Ooh.
So that's kind of interesting. And I asked her if now that the curse is broken, do characters get to leave Storybrooke? And because they couldn't before. Now can. Mm. And she said that's something that they're going to be exploring.
Mm.
So, and then who will come into Storybrooke? Can people come into Storybrooke? She also said that she had this role for her. She had always, always, always wanted to play a Disney princess.
Mm-hmm.
And now here she is playing her favorite Disney princess. About Mary Margaret. She talked about Mary Margaret. Oh, about making the character. Stop me when I'm talking too much.
Keep going.
Okay. That she was wondering, you know, she studied all of the Disney features really intensely, trying to get a handle on who Snow White was. You know, maybe she's an animal rights activist, you know, because Snow White with all the birds and stuff and in the cartoon, in the animated feature. Or maybe she's got OCD. But ultimately, she said she created a character that was really her ideal, flaws and all.
Yeah.
She didn't want to, but what she realized was the evil queen, Snow, the character of Mary Margaret had to have the characteristics that the evil queen would want her to have. So really she ended up playing her as her own worst enemy. You know, she's almost happy and then pushes the happiness away.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of interesting. Then we got to talk to Emily DeRaven, and of course, a lot of the focus of that was on her relationship with Rumpel.
Right.
And she will not, you know, we were asking her, is she going to try to change him? And she says, no, she doesn't really think she presumes to change this guy. That really, more to the point, she'll be trying to bring out the lighter side of him, the part that's hidden away that she's only been able to see so far. And she might herself might become a little less predictable, a little darker, because you are who you're with. And is she going to be affected by that in her own personality? You know, she's really the only person in town who doesn't know who all the other people are, you know, in fairy tale land. So she's going to be exploring that. She was asked, what did Belle find appealing in Rumpel? And she said, well, you know, it started out as a bit of an adventure. She wanted to leave home. She wanted to be, you know, something that girls weren't. But being around him, she saw something in him that was different that no one else saw. And she saw that he was really quite the wounded soul, which is, I think, what a lot of women see in Rumpel.
Yeah.
And somebody asked her, well, maybe she's got Stockholm syndrome. And she was very emphatic. She said no, that she felt pretty hard and pretty quickly for him. Let's see. Sorry, break in if you want to. I'm just rambling.
Sure. I think that's the one thing that I always thought about Emily was that she probably is the only one who could break, for lack of a better term, Rumpel's curse. To really get the emotion out of him and to help him see that power was actually destroying him and it actually pulled him and his son apart. So I always thought it was interesting to put love in there, somebody that he actually really loved. So anyway, I love that that egg in the mix. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's how she sees him. She's really, you know, and that's going to come out possibly when she realizes what the evil queen has done to her. And, you know, she's obviously going to be affected by the fact that the person that she really loves and deeply cares for is furious with the evil queen. And that will affect how she sees the mayor.
Speaking of the evil queen,
yes.
There's at least one person in the chat room that's almost jumping out of my screen.
Mm-hmm.
What was your discussion with Lana like?
Interestingly enough, that's where I was going next.
Perfect.
You know, her
great.
Birthday. Today is her birthday.
Yes.
By the way,
yep.
Lana Faria, today's her birthday.
Okay.
And she was overwhelmed during the panel. 4,500 people saying happy birthday to her. She really was quite moved by that whole thing. Lana thinks that Regina really has a good heart ultimately, and eventually she'd like to see her have some redemption, maybe in season 7. That's what she said, season 7. And maybe she really sees Regina as the ultimate unlucky soul.
Yep.
And, you know, she's going to need to grow. And with the loss of Henry, you know, she's going to have to do some soul searching and take some responsibility for that and really try. But she also added that we'll see how long that works.
Yeah.
But she said hopefully, you know, in season 7, she gets some redemption. You know, she is not too soon.
Right.
And she said she'll either end up with a halo around her head or 6 feet underground, and that's a quote.
Interesting.
She also said that she was kind of the opposite of Regina, because she said that, you know, herself, she has a really big heart. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting playing this character who does not. She talked about her relationship with Mr. Gold.
Hmm.
She says there's a huge, which we knew from last season, too, there's a lot of history between them, and that we will get to see a lot of it.
Great.
Woo-hoo.
She says, quote, it's juicy and fun.
Hmm.
She says, Bobby and I have been texting and just saying, oh, my God, we're so excited to be telling this story.
Hmm. I love the fact that Cora may have had some dealings with him, with Rumpel, and so
yeah.
It was kind of a family affair, right? Just on down the line, all the different things that, So I'm excited for it too.
He's going to be trying to salvage her relationship with Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, she said, her biggest concern right now. We also had a chance to talk to Eddie Kitsis and Adam Horowitz, who, by the way, I also spoke to yesterday because they were, they're also writers and consulting producers on Tron Uprising, which
that's
is
right.
A Disney XD series.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a double dose of Adam and Eddie this weekend. So that was kind of fun. In different guises. So they talked a little bit about what to expect next season. They said it's the next chapter. They're not back in the Enchanted Forest. And they are the ones that said, yes, why is there even an Enchanted Forest? And what have they lost by now having magic in Storybook and not, you know, sort of being these amalgam characters? We will find out who Henry's father is. That's going to be, and they also said a very important moment was when Regina in the finale, said to Henry, no matter what else happens, I do love you.
Right.
And they said that's a really significant moment. And the other thing they said is, because we're here to find out who Henry's father is, we're adding yet a third person into Henry's life. Now, not only does Regina have to share Henry with Emma, if not have lost him to Emma, now there's a fire. There's another guy in the mix of the father. Now, the other thing they said was that. You know, Emma last year told Henry that his father was a fireman who died in a fire.
Right.
Well, if we meet him this season, is Emma a liar? What if that's not true? So there's like trust issues there. So what it comes down to is they both said, you know, with this major theme of parenthood and how parents have kind of screwed up their kids' lives.
Sure.
This really affects Archie most of all.
Right.
He's going to be very busy. And he can go and buy himself a boat and retire because, like, he's doing.
Lots of things to talk about with Archie, yep.
Yep.
Yes. What else?
The time, is it 8:15, 8:16? Did it not stop?
Did they tell you that?
Oh yeah, yes, it was. They didn't. It did not come up, but I remember from the finale. Yeah.
So they didn't confirm what time it actually stopped, because that's been a huge debate. Huge debate.
I didn't get a chance to ask that. I mean, it was the way these rooms work. You literally have 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, and there are like six writers sitting around a table asking two people or one person.
Gotcha. Question. Well, if you have an opportunity.
No, no, no. This is what we do. We're going to find out where they're staying. Call them about 2. They're probably going to be back from parties about 2 o'clock. Then they'll be there. And you, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
No, but if you do have an opportunity to talk to them again.
I don't know. They're not working on any other show, honey. No.
If I do get a chance to ask, I will. So I do promise. There's so many questions to ask. Yep. And I literally got one question in for each.
Barbara, I thank you so, so much for giving us just all this great information. On your first Comic-Con. You haven't barricaded yourself in your room and hung out the do not disturb. I really appreciate your time, your friendship to me and the show, and the listeners. I really, really appreciate you, and I want you to know that.
Thanks. Oh, can I just say one last thing?
Sure.
The Once Upon a Fan site, the UK fan site.
Yep.
I've been talking to them, and, you know, they support With Kids Glasgow, which Robert Carlyle is a big supporter of. He's done a lot of work for them, and the Once Upon a Fan site has raised quite a bit of money for them. So I had the cast that I met sign my official Comic-Con press badge. And it's going to be auctioned off, along with I will send to the winner. I've got photos of Josh Dallas and I think Lana Paria Emily DeRaven signing the badge that I will send along to, and there'll be more information coming up on that site.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much, Barbara.
No problem. My pleasure.
Everyone, please go check out one of many things that Barbara's working on, one of which is at blogcritics.org. That site has a lot of her. I've been reading her little chronological trip through Comic-Con, getting ready for it and going through it. Barbara, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. Have a good evening.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Right. Bye. Bye.
I have to put her down. She's making it hot and she is whining.
I understand. Ladies and gentlemen, what an amazing time. That was really, really, really cool. We're going to take a brief little mental break and kind of pull all that in. So that was amazing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And
I'm glad I got to hear it because I was afraid I wasn't going to get to hear that. But
yeah. So we should be getting another call in a few minutes or two. So that was really incredible. And please do let Barbara know how much you appreciate her and read her. It's really interesting because she's had a really cool career up to this point, interviewing all these people. And then when she faced Comic-Con, I mean, she was like, what? That's my first Comic-Con. And I'm like, oh boy, well, we'll kind of give you some pointers. So it's Barbara Barnett, Barnett. And I believe her Twitter name is B_Barnett. But yeah, I just told her, I said, you're going to walk a lot. Bring some patience and some comfortable shoes. And I think next year, if she comes out, she's going to need an assistant to wait in other lines. So I'm going to sign up for that, and I'll be her assistant.
Yep, sounds great.
So anyhow, that was an incredible thing, and this is what I've always wanted to do with this live show, is to bring you information live from the event. And anyway, I could keep going on, but I'll stop. So let's see here. Okay, so we'll do this. I think it's me. I believe it's that. Just kind of double check that, but that should be that. So I think we're kind of leaning more toward the hybrid idea of it's part Storybrooke, part fairy tale land, and that kind of a thing. That's kind of what I kind of am getting more and more and more. And then the two personalities of the people, or two lives, let's say, are actually starting to kind of come together as well. So, I mean, that's what Barbara mentioned. So, anyhow, really, 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 really amazing stuff. I'm actually going to have to listen to it again to get all the information. Mm-hmm. Yep. But wow, really, really, really cool. So, Paige should be calling in just a bit. So,
and in the meantime,
what's the meantime?
Oh no, just puppies.
Yeah, well. There we go. This is Jeff. You're on the air. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Is this Paige?
Yes, this is.
Hi, Paige. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. This is Jeff and Colleen. And
hi.
First time we get to talk to you, but we have been in the same room together.
Yes, we have.
And that was an amazing, amazing moment, because it was our first Once Upon a Time event. And I definitely remember during the Q&A and the panel session at the Paley event that you guys jumped up. Lana saw you, talked about the evil Regals, and you handed her a shirt. Tell me, how did you make the shirt, and tell me a little bit about that.
Well, my friend Marissa and I, we actually made it on a website called cafepress.com, and we made them before we went to the panel, and we didn't actually give it to Lana that day. We'd actually mailed it to her a couple of weeks beforehand.
Okay.
So one of the really cool things was when the Q&A started and they had like turned the lights on to like look into the audience, Lana actually like waved and got our attention, and she whispered to us and she's like, "I love my shirt. Okay. Thank you." So that was like a really cool moment. And then of course when we stood up during the Q&A, she was able to tell everyone about it. So
that now, okay, let me ask a question. Now, how did it all, who came up with Evil Regals, and how did it all kind of come together? I'm really interested in that.
Lana actually came up with the name herself, and I believe it started because I think Josh Dallas was actually the first one to come up with names for his particular fans, or fans of Prince Charming.
Mm-hmm.
And his fans voted on the name Charmers. And a lot of the stars of the show let fans vote on what names they wanted, like Ginny's fans voted on the Ferret.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Robert Carlyle's fans also voted on Deary.
Yep.
But Lana actually made up Evil Regals herself. And so everyone just kind of adopted the name.
Yep. So I saw that, and I remember I was texting to Ima, and Ima pointed me in your direction, and it was so cool to kind of hook up with you and find you on Twitter, because, you know, it's really neat how this show kind of pulls people together. And so I saw the shirt that she was wearing, and I think you noticed, or somebody told you, that was your shirt that you had sent her at Comic-Con.
Yes. I actually saw the picture first on Tumblr. I was scrolling through my dash on Tumblr, and I saw it, and needless to say, I freaked out and did a huge happy dance around my house. That was the first time we'd ever seen her actually wear it. So it was cool to see her actually out in public with it on. So, yeah, that was really cool.
Well, you know, it is the tightest knit, and I know I'm going to take some heat, but I'm going to be honest. It's the tightest knit fan group within Once Upon a Time I've ever seen.
It definitely is.
It's the most active. Sometimes you guys have little spats within the group. Sometimes
yes,
you don't.
You do.
But what I really think is really incredible about it is the Evil Regals helped Lana to quit smoking, which kind of started this healthy challenge. And, you know, what's wrong with that? That's pretty cool. So,
right. I mean, I think it's awesome that, I mean, she's inspired all of us so much for us to be able to, you know, encourage her to quit smoking is just awesome. It's so, it's such like a give and take relationship, which is really cool.
Yeah.
To be a part of.
And, you know, it's funny because there's all the role playing little things here and there. But, you know, and people say it's funny, you know, once Lana starts tweeting, everybody kind of ditches their persona. It's like, hi, Lana, how are you doing? hey, you know, where are you at now? You know, it's just it's funny that when she starts tweeting, and she does actually quite a bit, she really connects with the fans. So it's really neat.
It is. And like, it's just so nice to see how much she genuinely cares for the fans. When we were at PaleyFest, we actually got to go to the after party, which was behind the stage. And when we were back there, we had heard a lot of the fans, a lot of the stars of the show had already left because right after the panel, they all got on flights to go back to Vancouver to start filming the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know who we were going to be able to see back there. We did see Adam and Eddie, and we did see Raphael, and then we saw Lana backstage, and that's when we officially got to meet her and talk with her and take pictures and things like that. But one of the things that I was really made me proud to be an Evil Regal was to see that Lana did not leave that after party until everyone who wanted to got an autograph from her and got a picture with her. And I just thought that was so awesome for her to take the time, even though she had a flight to catch. And I also heard that when she left the after party that there were fans standing outside and she did the same thing. She made sure everyone got an autograph and a picture.
Mm.
And I just, that just gives me so, I mean, I have so much respect for her already just because she's so talented, but she really is such a beautiful person and a beautiful spirit both inside and out. And it just gives me so much more respect for her to see that she's just as amazing in person as you think she is from, you know, the persona that she has.
Well, and we knew, of course, that a role on a television show is a role on a television show, and that's it.
Right.
And the person is not the role. So, but I was really kind of struck with how kind she was, and how she really, you know, kind of reached out in a way to the fans that were there, you know, and you know, the whole Evil Regals thing and the sign and all the different things is her connecting to her fans. And it was really cool when I found out that you and Marissa were the two there. And then also to see the shirt there was kind of a really neat connecting point for today, yesterday too.
Yes.
So tell me about this road trip.
Well, I'm actually on Skype with Marissa right now. We are listening to the podcast together. I don't know if you can hear her, but I'll let her say hi.
Hi.
Huh? And what we're doing is tomorrow we are flying out to Vancouver, and we are staying in Steveston, and we're hoping to see some filming for season 2 of Once Upon a Time. Regardless of whether we do or not, we really just wanted to go and see where the show is filmed. But, you know, we're crossing our fingers, hoping that we might get to see some filming. Also, as any Evil Regals who are listening know, Lana's birthday is tomorrow, and Marissa and I have been working on a pretty big birthday present for her, so we're hoping with all our hearts that we'll get to see her and be able to give that to her as well.
Well, I'm very jealous. Very jealous. Okay, the three reasons I'm jealous. Number one, you were sitting down front for the Paley event. I was sitting up in the balcony. Okay.
Nosebleed.
You know, And I would have had to have been Batman and spelunked down the, you know, to get there.
It's not spelunked, honey. You would have had a
whatever show. That thing. And you guys were ready to go. And the second thing is you went to the after party of the Paley event. I'm jealous. Now you're going to Steveston. So anyway, take a little part of me with you. Just go there. Have a great time. And, you know, the most incredible thing I think about Steveston is the town looks like the show. Obviously, there's signs that are different, but Mr. Gold's shop is there. It's just you're gonna have such a great time. So, wow, take lots of pictures.
I definitely will.
And you know, you probably don't know, but you know, yeah, they'll probably be filming in the next couple of days. I think probably.
Yeah.
That's what we're hoping for. I heard Josh Dallas also say at Paley Fest today, I don't know if this is a spoiler, I was listening to you guys and you said, you know, what they said at Comic-Con today, I think it's at Paley Fest before, sorry, what they said at Comic-Con today you don't consider to be spoilers, but Josh Dallas did say in an interview that they will be picking up right where they left off.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that they will be picking up, you know, right after the smoke clears, which is filmed right in Steveston, so
yep.
Hopefully.
Well, I was pretty happy once I found out that basically they had kind of booked Steveston and that's where they're going to film, and I said, okay, so Storybrooke isn't totally going away. So that's
right.
I was happy about that. So thank you so much for your time and just for being so cool, and have a great time. You two take lots of pictures, create lots of memories. I have a feeling you're going to be meeting some pretty cool people, saying hello. So live it up, man. This is the time to do it, okay?
Yep. I will. Thank you so much for asking me to call in.
You got it. You got it. Take care. Have a great time. And we'll talk again, okay?
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Bye. Okay?
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Woo. Well, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good show.
Yeah, it is.
So we're going to end hour one right now. And I want to send big love out to everybody. This has been an incredible show. Big love to Barbara, mm-hmm. especially, and Paige, and everyone who's listening. It's kind of like the Once Upon a Time bell has rung, and yep. everyone's like coming back.
Yep.
Everyone's been gone for a while. But thanks so much for coming back. Everybody take care, and we will talk to you soon. See ya.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.